again, just for the changing of the seasons, just all the colors and stuff out there. You have an amazing creation. And Father, I pray this morning that as we look at your word, that your Holy Spirit will help us to have understanding, that you'll soften our hearts, open our ears, help our understanding, and then help us to act upon what you speak to us. And you are an awesome God, and we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this is kind of a, I don't know if any of you really think about this, but I do. So, here's the deal. So, last week, the message was about building and the possibility of helping give towards that. And so, but there's people that weren't here, right? I mean, some of you didn't hear that message. And so, it's like, how do you re-communicate that without all the rest of you going, oh, yeah, we heard this again. So here's what I'm doing. In the bulletin, there's a handout that goes over the notes. Out in the foyer, there's the card, the little card about giving. And on our website is the message. So if you weren't here last week and you want to hear that message, it's on the website. So you can go to our website under sermons, and the message is there and the notes are there. So, and there's the boxes now out in the foyer for those of you that don't need 2 months to pray about it. If you already feel like God has kind of directed you to what he wants you to do, the box is out there. I've already gotten a couple back, and there's now a box out in the foyer that you can put those cards in. And I know some of you are going, huh? What's he talking about? You need to go to the website and listen to the message. That's the best way to do it. So, we're continuing on in 2 Timothy this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 13. We'll start out by reading God's Word. So if you open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 13. Paul speaking to Timothy, and I also really believe that Paul is speaking to us. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffered hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So Paul starts out here, you therefore, and maybe you've heard this before, but if there's a therefore, you need to ask, what's it there for? Good job, Pete. What's it there for? Well, he's talking about some of the previous things that he had been talking to Timothy about. So if you go back in the chapter, or go back to, if you go back before this, Paul in 1 Timothy is talking about retain the standard of sound words. Retain the standard of sound words. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in you the treasure. He's also talking about some of these people who have turned away from Paul, who have given up on the gospel. And so he's telling Timothy to hang in there, be strong. And he's telling us that same thing. And actually, that word strong is really the word empowered would be a better word. It has the idea of, it's in the passive present tense, so it's continually happening, but it has this idea of divine agency, that the empowerment comes from God, and that it's something that needs to continually be happening. Paul here speaking to Timothy as a son, you think about those of you who are parents, what's your main goal, or what should your main goal be, is to raise up competent adults, right? You want your kids to be competent adults, following God, living as productive citizens. And that's what God wants for us as his children. He wants us to be raised up as competent believers, believers who look like his son, Jesus Christ. So Paul is encouraging Timothy that way as a father would his son, and reminding him that the power that he needs, the strength that he needs, comes from Jesus, comes from God himself. To be strong in the gospel of Christ. To be strong through grace. We're given the power of Jesus through grace. Think of this empowerment as like electricity. So you have something that's electrical that works, so you plug it in and the thing runs, right? If that electricity gets disrupted, what happens? It quits running, right? And so this empowerment is that idea of this continually supplying the power so that we have what we need to do what he calls us to do. One of the things that he wants us to do is to teach, to be able to teach the gospel, to be able to tell others what the gospel is about. And remember, the gospel is good news. That's literally what it means, good news. Remember the angels that came and said, we have good news. And if you have good news, don't you want to share your good news? I mean, those of you that are grandparents, when you have a grandbaby, share that good news. We get on Facebook and we put pictures and we do all that kind of stuff, right? It's the same with the gospel. It's good news. It's going to provide salvation for people. It's even better news than a grandbaby. It is. I'm just telling you, it really is. Don't be sending me nasty emails. I don't. And we want to teach so that others teach others. And what are these people? Who do these people need to be? They need to be faithful. And they need to be able to teach. You think about when the gospel first started being shared, 2,000 plus years ago, and it's still being shared because of teachable faithful people have continued to share the gospel. They've continued to endure hardship. Just as Paul, as he's in prison, he's enduring the hardship to get the gospel out there. Because he realizes it is good news. It is good news. And faithful, willing people that have continued to share the gospel. He then talks about enduring hardship. Verses 3 through 6, and he gives us some examples of different people who endure hardship. One of the things that, you know, that I think we struggle with, I guess I say we, I'm assuming you do also, getting comfortable in the status quo. You know, really comfortable, and oh, things are going really good, and you know, I just want to stay right here, and I really don't want to get out of this little area where I am. But the problem is we get so comfortable in the status quo that if any hardship comes along, we think it's bad. And it isn't necessarily bad. It's good for us. It brings about discipline. So the first example he gives us is a soldier. A soldier who endures hardship, who doesn't get involved in all the politics and all the things that are going on in the world. He's got a job. And he continues to focus on that job. He doesn't get into all the entanglements. As I heard that term, one of the first things that came to my mind was Samson and Delilah. Remember what she did? She wove his hair into the loom. Talk about entangled. Although he was able to break out of it. But then the other thing I thought about in that same story was he lost his focus. He lost his focus. And what happened? It wasn't good. It wasn't good. Lost his sight because he changed his focus from doing what God had called him to do, and he started focusing on this woman. He got entangled. The next one is an athlete. Talks about an athlete being disciplined and having rules that they need to follow. So in the culture, so it's okay. Phyllis's pocket's talking to her. You know, it's it happens. So as an athlete, and you think about the culture and what's going on, the games that happen, and it's a big deal. And here's one of the things that they had to do. So an athlete who wanted to participate in the games had to swear an oath that they had spent at least 10 months training. I mean, they just didn't let anybody in. They had to swear an oath that they had 10 months training. And then this is so the discipline that had to happen as an athlete to endure the hardship. And then the rules, because there's rules to the games, right? You have to do it in a certain way. So here's what would happen to them. So if they didn't compete properly, they could be fined. But even worse, they could be scourged or beaten for breaking the rules. So it was a big deal. It was a big deal. But it's the same for us. We do have rules. We do have rules. Becoming godly, striving for that godliness. 1 Timothy 4, 7 through 8 says, "But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit. But godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." Godliness, striving after godliness. And then Jesus in John 14 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So this idea sometimes of, well, you know, Christianity isn't about, you know, rules. Well, yes, there are some. Because Jesus is saying here, if you love me, do what I tell you. Do what I've laid out that you need to do. Because those things will help you to get to godliness. These things will help you live a life that's an example of the gospel to other people. And then the next one we have is the farmer. The farmer. I want you to think about the first century farmer. Think about being a farmer in that day. You know, with the oxen, if you even had one. Sun up to sundown, striving to produce out of, you know, soil that really maybe wasn't all that great. It was hard work. And they had to be very patient. They had to be very patient. James 5:7 says, Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. He's got to be patient because what else is he going to do? Can't make stuff grow, right? You can plant it. You can do all the things to help it to grow, but you can't make it grow. And who are we to endure for? We're to endure for others, that they might come to salvation. That we, being the example of one who's willing to endure for the gospel, for their salvation, that will lead eventually to eternal glory. Bless you. And Paul understood this, that as he sat in jail writing a letter, that he realized the things that he was going through was an example to others. That it was worth it. That it was worth it. We need to trust in God. Verse 7 says, "Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." In James, it talks about if you lack wisdom, ask. But don't doubt it, but ask. The second half of verse 9 says, "But the word of God is not imprisoned." God has a plan. He will work it out. We need to trust Him for that plan. And then what's our motivation? Our motivation needs to be Jesus Christ. It's amazing what people can endure with the proper motivation. You know, some of you may have heard stories of POWs who are in horrible situations, but they continue to remember family or whatever it might be. In fact, I just read one this week that the guy was, he lived in Montana and he remembered where he lived, and that's what motivated him to get through it. Our motivation needs to be Christ. Jesus Christ, who experienced the ultimate death undeservedly. It says here, he was a descendant of David. He deserved to be sitting on a throne, not hanging on a cross. But yet he was willing, by example, to hang on that cross to endure the suffering for us. Because he loved us, because we were worth it. Then here towards the end, Paul says, and this is a trustworthy statement. And in your Bibles, you may see that these next verses are kind of set up a little differently, because more than likely this was a hymn, that this was set to music. This was something that was very familiar to a lot of people. There's these conditional clauses, if then, if this, then that. And so Paul says, for if we die with him, Jesus, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Mark 8:35, in talking about dying, Mark 8:35 says, "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." And Paul understood that. Paul understood that. He was willing to give himself. In fact, he even made the statement, willing to literally sacrifice his life for the sake of the gospel. He was, not only was he willing to do it, he did it. And you think of especially the apostles in the first century, who were all martyred. John possibly died just of old age, but he went through a lot of stuff. It wasn't an easy life for him. And they were willing to do it for the sake of the gospel, because they knew it was good news. In Matthew 10:33, Jesus speaking here says, "Whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." Think of those words. words in the New Testament where someone comes before Jesus and he says, and they're going, Lord, and he's saying, Lord, you never knew me. You may say, Lord, Lord, but you didn't know me. You didn't live for me. As we endure hardship, there's going to be a lot of sifting out of true believers. And if you've ever read the book of Revelation, you see that there's a lot of sifting going on. And you see those who truly follow Jesus Christ and those who have basically just given lip service to it. And, you know, I don't know about you, but as I look in our country right now, it is never going to be what it was. And I really truly believe things are going to get harder, and they're going to get harder, and they're going to get harder, especially for those of us who say we're disciples of Jesus Christ, who are wanting to stand on the truth of the gospel, on the truth of God's word. We're going to have to endure a lot. And at some point, possibly, even death. Just as people in other parts of the world right now, today, are enduring death because of the gospel, because they're willing to stand on who Jesus Christ is, and they're enduring death. When he talks about this faithfulness, those who will remain faithful, or those who are faithless, God remains faithful. In John 10, 27 through 29, Jesus again speaking says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Those who are true believers in Jesus Christ, God will remain faithful. It will be blessing for the faithful and judgment for the faithless. For those who truly believe in Jesus Christ, who have accepted Him as their Savior, will have an eternity in heaven. And those who do not will have an eternity in hell. And it will not be a place where they can hang out with their friends. The Bible is very clear what it's like. It's torment. It's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a horrible place. Unquenchable fire. For those who reject Jesus Christ. The life of a disciple of Jesus runs contrary to the way of the world. I mean, I think probably most of us would agree with that. That we look at what it is to be a disciple of Jesus really is contrary to how the world operates. And if you're not really convinced of that, then just look at the cross and what people think of the cross. Even in Paul's day, they thought it was foolishness. It's ridiculous. Hang on a cross? It's shameful. It's horrible. And yet, Jesus, who was God, hung on the cross for us. And part of what we're going to do this morning in celebrating communion is remembering what He did for us, that He did hang on the cross. That he physically died. God came to this earth in the form of a human being. And His sole purpose was to die and then be raised again to show the power that God had over death. And those of us who are already believers in Christ, it's part of our responsibility to share that good news. To share the good news of God providing a way of salvation for all of us, for all of mankind. There is a way of salvation if we'll but believe in it. Have the guys come on up. So as we celebrate communion here this morning, it's that remembrance. You know, remembering what Jesus did for us. And part of that remembrance is also evaluating our own lives and just seeing how are we doing. You know, how are we doing with sharing the good news? Are we living a life that if someone looked at us, they would say, oh yeah, they're a Christian. I get that. They're kind of weird, but you know. You know, I was talking to Ayler and I were talking one time about, you know, the being in a group of people and someone finding out you're a Christian, they're going, oh really? They shouldn't question whether you're a believer in Jesus Christ or not. It should be something that's just part of your life. And so we want to look at that, you know, this morning as you're getting ready to take communion, just kind of thinking about that. You know, I can't remember how exactly it goes, but, you know, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And just coming to church on Sunday morning isn't enough evidence to convict you. Because there's plenty of people who go to church that really don't know who Jesus is.
Thank you.
So one of the things that shows whether we're believers of Jesus Christ is love. You know, how do we love one another? You know, do we consider others as more important than ourselves? Boy, is that not contrary to our world? And that's what motivated Jesus to do what he did, was that he loved us so much that he was willing to sacrifice himself. So as you take the bread this morning, remember Jesus and that he physically died on the cross for our sin because he loved us. Take, eat in remembrance of Jesus. Jesus hung on that cross, he shed his blood. It was blood that was required for sin. The picture all through the Old Testament is, as God said, there needs to be this perfect, unblemished lamb to die for sin. The problem is there, it had to continually keep happening over and over and over. When Jesus did it, he did it once and for all. He shed his blood, the perfect blood of that lamb he shed for us. So take, drink in remembrance of Jesus. So if you want to pass your cups to the center there, the guys will go ahead and pick those up. So as you go out this week, live in the gospel, being willing to endure the hardship that might come along because you are a Christ one who is called to follow Jesus Christ. So God bless you all. Have a great week.